We find an answer to this first question that I'm going to pose us. I'm sure most of us would agree that there's very little. Sometimes it's discouraging. Why do we see so little spiritual growth? Why do we see so little spiritual growth? Let me just encourage your hearts so that you won't think that we're just continuing to go over these things time and time again. Peter, speaking in his second epistle, he said, "Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth." There's a tremendous area as far as growth and as far as our spiritual stability in God. And if we're going to see this work out in our lives and not be discouraged, because I think so many of us become discouraged because we're not aware, even though we are aware that we have received something. But as far as going on and letting this someone, which is God Himself, do His perfect work in us. He has given us the power, He has given us the ability to be true sons of God. So we start this morning from the beginning place that these things are only possible, that we're going to be talking about, and we're going to be talking in three areas: the physical, the mental, and the moral. Because these are the areas that we work out that which God has worked in. In Corinthians, just let me again look at this for a minute, because it's a scripture that we all use, we all know by heart, we all misuse most of the time, because we only quote part of it. "If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature." We're talking about now the same thing that Paul is speaking about in Galatians when he is speaking about, and let me just read that for you if you would hold on just a minute. Galatians. In the 6th chapter, in the 15th verse, "For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything or uncircumcision, but a new creature." Now, these things may not have any real meaning to you at this moment, but what Paul is saying to the Galatians is, it's not what you do concerning to this area of circumcision or what you don't do. It's the new creature that really matters. It's the new creation of God, and these are the things that we're going to have to look at. We're going to have to realize that if you are a child of God, God has put something within you. And that's where we're coming from this morning. That's where each one of you, if you have that God has given you, then there is no excuse. And these areas, if they are not strengthened, if we do not go on to allow them to mature and to take on new habits in these areas, physical, mental, and moral, then we go along and we find, as Paul found, but he was underneath the law, we find something fighting, we find the flesh, because we haven't created these new habits. And the only way that we can create new habits is obedience to the Spirit of God that dwells within us. I think sometimes we also think that our bodies are our enemies, and God uses it in spite of what we think, because He uses it to actually bring about true sanctification. He doesn't do it in spite of your body, He does it because of your body. And as we start to realize the physical, the mental aspect of it, we see that these are areas that are real. We see the desires, either the seat of our desires. And as we see these, we must realize and not condemn people when they are moving in their desires in the right way. But God has given us desires. But those desires must be channeled in God's way. And that's what God wants to take. And when we become a new creation in God, then we are going to be remade. He doesn't make us brand new from the inside out. He makes us brand new as everything that we've done. But see, we still have these habits. We still have these thoughts. And they must be brought captive. I'm sure that all of you are aware of our thought pattern. Even in trying to pray, we find that our thoughts, they stand in the way. We find ourselves thinking about things rather than really waiting on God in a real spiritual manner, waiting that He might speak to us. We've been sharing a little bit on Sunday night that we can see that just waiting on God to really allow us to hear His voice is not just to take it always to deal with something that's wrong with us. God wants to commune with us, and we want to commune with Him. Or at least, if we're a new creation in God, there is that desire to commune with God. Most of us are taken up, and I think you will agree, we're taken up with asking God for things, or asking God about this or that, what we think that God ought to be doing, I guess you would say. We have this loved one or this love thing that we're asking God to meet this need, but we forget that God wants us first to come and commune with Him. That doesn't mean that He's not going to use us, but unless we have a communion with our Father, unless we are fellowshipping with Him in something that is fuller and richer than just the things of this earth, even our loved ones that we are desirous of God touching their lives and saving them, if our relationship with Him is not fuller and richer, this can never be accomplished. Because we're not channels whereby He can flow through to them, if that need be. So there's got to be that working in each one of these areas. And of course, as we all know, we're lazy, we're creatures of habit, and we just like to continue on in the same habit. But when we come in contact with Jesus Christ, when the gospel, which is the power of God, unto salvation, that means unto deliverance, when that jars us, it sets us free. The gospel, the good news, sets us free and gives us something. No, if you haven't got something from God, then you haven't gone far enough. But He gives us something. And that's what we come to Him for. That's what makes us a new creation. We have the ability now to be. So important. I know what goes on in our minds, what we think Christianity is. But that's not what it is. Christianity is Christ, as we said last week. Christianity is walking out His life. Enjoying God. Knowing Him in every aspect. But as we all know, physically, everything must be brought to a place that we are expressing Him. That means discipline. That means obedience. Because it's not you disciplining your physical body so that you can please God. That's not it. It's obedience to the Spirit of God in your daily, moment-by-moment walk that's going to discipline your physical body with its desires, with its passions, mentally. There's many things that could be said in this aspect, because this is the place to where it activates our will. If we have no mind, you see that we have no direction, we have no place to move our will. But God wants our wills, but He wants them only if He is indwelling us. Because your will, you're not going to have salvation just because you will to have, just because you will to change your behavior. You found that just willing to do it doesn't do it. It's obedience to the Spirit that changes the behavior of your physical and your mental, the mental working in your life. To where your mind, you start to take on the mind of Christ, as we spoke about briefly last week when Paul's speaking about there in 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. We have the mind of Christ. To say that means that I have been exercised by the Spirit. It's not to brag on me or to brag on you. It's to say that God is doing His work. But God doesn't take and just put something within us and we have no responsibility in it. He has made us in such a way that we must be responsive to Him, not only in fellowship, but in all of these areas, because these are the areas that God uses. And that's why over there in Thessalonians, He says that our body, soul, and spirit be sanctified. What does that mean? Be set aside unto God. And of course, sanctification in this full expression means holiness. Holiness unto God. And we're still in this human body. No question about that. But we have something that is higher, more powerful than anything this body knows anything about. It's more powerful than your desires. We're talking about the Holy Spirit that has come to abide within us. It's now going to give us the direction. It's going to lead us. As you read John, 1 John, you see that he says a number of things about the Spirit. You have an unction. You have an anointing. Hereby we know that we dwell in Him and He in us because He has given us of His Spirit. You know, all of these things are laid out before us and we know these things. But see, until we're willing to respond to Him and not just take and respond to our own desires. So you're going to have it. The question is whether you're going to respond to God, whether you're going to allow these areas to be affected. Be affected by your obedience to God. Your obedience to the Spirit of God. Let me just quote another scripture to you. He has become eternal salvation to those that obey Him. Remember, those that obey Him. Obedience in the New Testament, the new covenant of God, is the ability that God gives us to do His will. In other words, He frees our will from just doing our own will to do His will. I now, because I have been partakers, because you have been partakers of His grace and the regeneration power of God, you now have the ability to do His will. You didn't have that before. You could want to. You could be directed and see things that look good and you desire to do it, but you couldn't do them. But now, because of that regeneration power of God, you can do the will of God. The question is whether we will or not. And that's the question I asked us at the beginning. Why do we see so little spiritual growth? The reason is we are not serious about this. It has not taken a hold of us. In other words, the passion of our very being is not to do the will of God, but to live a life that's pleasing to ourselves. We do not realize that we have not been made for ourselves, we've been made for God. If you live to yourself, if you live to sin, you're going to reap destruction. I don't care when it comes, it will come. Those that live in the life of God are going to be partakers of eternal life. Eternal life at this moment is to know God and to know His Son, Jesus Christ. That means in experience, not to just know facts about Him. But because of our system around us and because everything that is thrown upon us, we're prone to think that knowledge is, I have it because I have a knowledge of it. No, no. And you can talk all day about growing up into Christ and being spiritual, but until you're willing to take the simple steps moment by moment as the Holy Spirit reveals it to you, the next step of obedience. You're living because He has given you life. I'm living His life. I'm not living my life. But most of us try to mix it We try to live our life, and then when it comes to the kind of the hard places, we say, well, you know, I need God in this. You need God every minute of every day if you're going to live His life. And His life is a fulfilling life. It's a life of joy. It's a life of peace. I'm writing down a few words the other night, and I said, He's given me Jesus. That's the life I live. I'm not trying to live a life for Jesus. He has given me Jesus. That's the life I live. I live Jesus. Same thing with each one of us sitting here this morning. If you think that you're trying to live a life pleasing to the Lord, you're missing it. And that's why we go along and we're doing the best that we can. We never allow the Spirit of God to touch these three vital areas. All of our appetites must be under subjection and control of the Holy Spirit, to where each one of us are living and moving in faith. We must move and do everything from that position that we are new creatures. Not that we're trying to be new creatures because we're doing something. We must move and do because we are. Now, to get into that place to where you are, you must move in faith. Once you get into this place of life in Christ, in a relationship with God, where God has given and deposited something within you, you now still are living in faith. But you're moving from a position. You're not moving to get into that position. Now, you might not think this has any meaning, but I find that it does in so many of our lives. We're doing things to try to please God. We're moving to try to get into that position rather than moving from that position. But if you start to move from that position, you'll find that God has given you the ability, given you the power that you need, the ability that you need to bring all of these areas of your physical life into subjection to Him. And that means you're going to start to enjoy while you're made. That doesn't mean it's going to take all the fun out of this. But there's going to be real meaning. There's going to be fulfillment. But it cannot be as long as you're allowing your desires to control you. Your wants, your desires. And they are triggered many times, and I would say probably most of the time, through our mental or the intellectual aspect of our thinking. We start to think upon these things. We start to desire these things. And the next thing you know, our whole being is involved in them rather than allowing God to discipline our minds, bringing every thought captive to Christ. To where we're obeying Christ. We're obeying the life. You know, a lot of times when we think about obedience in a relationship with God. Think about obedience as my response to God Himself. That's what obedience is. Sometimes we're looking at obedience the way we look at it, and we've got to look at it in a different manner. Because if you think that you're obeying because you have to obey, you're not obeying. You're obeying because of who you are. And your obedience is your response. And that means the whole you responding to the living Christ that has chose to dwell within you. Glory. Something makes you shout.
Glory. Amen.
And I don't mean let your emotions run away, but it gives you something within that you know that God has done something. You want to worship. You want to lift your hearts and your whole being. You want to lift them into His presence. Just to glorify His name. Because of the wisdom that He had by giving us this great salvation that He has. Mm-hmm. How can we neglect it? How can we pass on day by day and not let these things be affected? And they must be affected. Let me bring you back to a very familiar passage. And I say it's familiar because if you've been around anything that I've said too much, you'll know that I come back to this time and time and time and time again. And that's to 2 Peter chapter 1. He's given to us All things pertain to life and godliness. Life. We think life is only living in this human body. Life is experience Christ in our walk in this human body. Everything, we must relate back to our position. If you're in Christ, one thing. If you're not in Christ, then you can't relate to this. But if you're in Christ, or if you're not in Christ, you can get in Christ. It doesn't take you years to get into Christ. God has made it very simple. He said, I'm the door. The only reason that we don't want him is we don't want to go through the door. We think we're going to lose something. But that's not the case. The thing is that we gain something. We never lose anything. All that you thought you had does nothing but is a weight around your neck to destroy you. What he gives you is that is going to lift you up. And of course, in the scriptures, it tells us that we have in Colossians there in the first chapter in the 13th verse, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of God. Simple statements. We know what they say, but do we know what they mean? He brought us from a place that we could not to a place that we can. Mm-hmm. This is the place we move from. Mm-hmm. I'm seated with him in heavenly places. That's the position that I move. That's the place that I live my daily life. Right down here in all of the drudgery that there is that you may encounter. You bring light to it. You bring joy to it. You move right on into it. And your light shines only if you've allowed God to take and work in you and allow these things that we've mentioned here already, the physical, the mental, and the moral. Again, coming back to 2 Peter chapter 1, the first thing that you add in your faith is moral excellence. And beloved, I'm not here to bring us to anything about what is happening around us today. But this is the dilemma of the whole world, the morality of the whole world. They have none. They have none. And this is one of the things, this is the first thing that Peter says is going to be affected. If you have any virtue, it's because you've allowed God to add in your walk of faith, you've allowed him to add this moral excellence. Now, moral excellence in your relationship with God does bring convictions, but we don't live out of our convictions. We live out of Christ. You never say, I can't do this because I'm a Christian. Never say that. You follow me? What do you say? In other words, take that can't out of your vocabulary. It isn't a question, I can't. It's a question, it's like John says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. If he's been born of God, he cannot sin. I know. It's hard to believe these verses. Let's go back. First John. Third chapter. But see, as we start to see the depths of what God is saying to us in the revelation of Jesus Christ, these verses start to have meaning to us rather than things that we say, well, that can't be true. Let me just read a few verses here in 1 John 3rd chapter, beginning at the 7th verse. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin. for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. This means this very simply in the language that's set out here, you cannot continue to sin. There's no way if you've been born of God. In this, the children of God are manifested in the children of the devil. Whoever does not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. We're talking about that divine work of God. In other words, if God hasn't deposited within you the ability to love, you can't love with your emotions. If he has deposited, your emotions can be very beneficial in your loving one another. But you don't love people because you feel like it in your emotions. This is a divine element. Love is not a feeling. Love is not a thing. Love is God. And he gives you that ability as a son of God because you've been brought into the family of God. He's given you that ability, and it is an area that causes us to rejoice. Not only when we are loved, but when we love. See, I think that the characteristics of the spiritual life is the delight that is in our souls as we discern more and more and see more clearly into the purpose of God and what He's doing, and just to experience it and to see it worked out because we are pleasing Him. We've been made for Him. Would we all agree to that? We've been made for Him. I haven't been made for myself. I've been made for Him. I'm talking about man. When God made man in the beginning, He made man for Himself. In Christ Jesus, no longer do we belong to ourselves. We've been made for Him. These are all wonderful things. It's come by. Because unless you affect these three areas, you're not going to grow spiritually. Just face it. You say, well, I can because of Christ. If you're not willing to respond to Him and allow Him to discipline, spiritually discipline now, your physical body, your mental thinking, attitudes and everything, and your morality, if you don't allow Him to discipline this through obedience, you're not going anywhere spiritually. You can talk about spirituality all day. You can quote scriptures from Genesis to Revelation. It doesn't make any difference. Here's where He's going to work it out. And this is where He says, you're going to walk it out. You're going to do it in obedience. Again, let me repeat again. He has become eternal salvation to those that obey Him. Not to everybody who just says, I believe in Him. That's not eternal salvation. He is the eternal aspect of it. But only as I respond, only as I am in obedience to the Lord, in a relationship. What meaning would any of this have this morning if there wasn't some response from each other in the working of God? If all we're doing is growing mentally as far as our understanding, and we don't allow Him to bring all of these thoughts captive to what? To Christ. We thrive on knowledge. The knowledge that lodges in our minds. We need to thrive on the knowledge that experiences Christ Jesus. He has become our knowledge. That's what I want to experience. That's what you need to press on in. To know that aspect. And to live this life. And don't think what we're talking, it sounds so lofty. Everything that we're talking about can be lived out in you, in your human body, as you walk out each day, wherever God has called you to be, whether you're a student, whether you have a job, or what you are. You have an escape. Spirituality is not escaping this human body. It's going to walk out. God's going to walk out what He has worked in this human body. This body has not been glorified yet. But I can feel it coming on.
It's near.
I'm talking about when He takes and glorifies it. Not because of some feeling. But I just, when I said that, I'm saying that I feel that our time and His return is close.
Amen.
And that's the time that these bodies are going to be changed. In a twinkling of an eye, we're going to be caught up to meet Him in the air. That means that our bodies are going to be glorified. We're going to be changed into His likeness in fullness. The only thing right now that has not been changed is our bodies. So we're still constrained and kept in, shall I say, to a certain sphere because of our bodies. In other words, like we'd be as Him. We'd be spirits, but we're not spirits. We have a human body. But don't think it's a hindrance. I think too many times we think it's a hindrance. And the reason we think it's a hindrance, we haven't allowed the Spirit of God to discipline these areas. And these areas are not easy. I'm not here telling you this morning that these areas are easy. I'm not telling you today that I or anyone else here has attained to the fullness of any of this aspect. But as Paul said, I say, and anybody else here that is responding in these areas, we press on towards the mark. There's one thing. There's a passion in our souls to know God in every one of these areas. And I know that if I don't let Him take and discipline and bring my physical body into focus with His purpose, I know it will destroy me in the end. I know that if I don't let my mind, then my thoughts and everything else, if I don't bring them captive to Christ, they will destroy me. They will activate my will. They will be used for excuses to do what I want to do. We always, you listen to people when they talk, when they've done something, and they always got an excuse why they did it. They tell you why they did it. And they say, you know, I'm not trying to make an excuse, but they tell you right out of their own mouth why they did it. They reasoned themselves into the place. They knew they shouldn't have, or else they wouldn't have to make an excuse for it, right? And that's the way we are. The question of morality. If there's a moral excellence, there must be a standard built in us. Because we're not moving from a set of commandments. We're moving from that which God works in us of Himself. My standard is a person. My standard is not a set of rules. It's those that are led by the Spirit, those that are obedient to the Spirit, are those that actually do the requirements of the law. We're not under a set of laws. We're under a higher law than the Ten Commandments. We're under the law of life. Life in Christ Jesus. I hear so many people saying, I want to keep the Ten Commandments. You'll never do it. In that realm, on that plane, you'll never keep the Ten Commandments. Because they weren't given to give us eternal life. They were given to reveal sin. Keeping the Ten Commandments can only be done in the life of God because they're God's requirements. As far as our relationship with Him and our relationship with each other. That's what the Ten Commandments are all about. How can we do those separate from God? Only as we are led by the Spirit, only as we live in the Spirit, can we fulfill the righteous demands of the law. So we're not living under that law, we're living under a higher law. That's why I said, you don't say, I can't do this because this is what the Word of God says. I can't do this because Christ lives within me. That life that I have will not do this. I don't have to think about it. This life of Christ within me, this life of Christ within you, it's the same. It's not different. The life that dwells within you, if you have Christ in the well, life that dwells within me, it's the same. It will not do the things that are contrary to itself. God cannot contradict Himself. And so many times we are trying, that's why I say, we're trying to live a life pleasing to God, and it'll never cut it. He'll never do it. We don't live trying to please God. We live His life, which automatically pleases God. But we live His life. We don't live our life trying to please God. You must move always from this premise, this plateau, to I am in union with Christ. I don't move as a Christian. I don't move to get there. I move from that place. I do things because I am moving from my union in Him. Now, don't tell me that you're going to do things and sin Because I've already read there, if the seed of God remains in you, you're going to have to push past the Holy Spirit of God to sin. He's faithful. He's faithful. I've proved it. Many of you have proved it. So this isn't something you say, well, I just don't know, so I can't help myself. I just accidentally. No, you didn't accidentally. You did not allow. If you have been partakers of the life of God, you have not allowed Him to work it out in your life. Now, this don't sit there and whine and complain and pout. Man, this move on. Man, this take a hold of what God has said. You know, if you ever take a hold of the power, just like electricity, if you take a hold of the wire, man, you're gonna feel something, right? And I'm not saying you're gonna feel something here, but just take a hold of the power that God has worked in us. It's definitely gonna give us the ability that we need to see these change. How soon? I don't know. Depends on the passion of your soul to know God. How quick can I see my physical, the appetites in my life, the desires? How soon can I see them change? Well, don't focus on that. Just focus on this minute by minute walk with God and my obedience, my response to my Lord. My life. He's not separate from me. He's chosen to come and dwell in me. That's not a false concept to you, is it? He said, I will come, I and the Father, and we will make our abode in you. The evangelicals speak about Christ being in you. I don't think they know the reality of that, but nevertheless, that's what we're talking about, Christ in you. And that's in reality. That's not in theory. That's not because some verse that we've read and we have it in the knowledge of our head. That must become a reality in our life. We must know the power of His indwelling. That is our hope. Christ in you. Lord. Now, the thing is, where do we start? Because I heard somebody say the other day, well, you know, I'm too young to get... I need to have a little more fun before I... You know, they're just fun in the way the world looks at it, and the way people that say that is a destroyer of their soul. It continues to deaden anything that God has tried to quicken when we continue to go down this way. You have no promise of tomorrow. Amen. Neither do I. This is not something to scare us. This is something to say that we need to be active in our relationship with God. If He's given you the ability to obey, then we need to see these areas. And they're not going to be automatic at first. Man, this is going to be hard. It's hard because of your past. It's because of your thinking. God's going to take and redo this. But He isn't going to do it in spite of you. He's going to do it because of you. He's not going to look at you and say, well, you have a body, so I'm just going to take and zap you one time and going to take everything. Because you have a body, He's going to use that body and He's going to glorify Himself in this body, in this flesh. He's going to show you that He can transform you as you respond to Him. Don't worry about how long it's going to take. It'll be there before you realize it. And you'll start to enjoy it. The area of our mental capacity, our thinking, and these areas here. How quick does it happen? Because our minds run wild. Really do. Our thinking patterns. Most of us can't even stop and think in God. Think in the Spirit. We're taken up with all of these other things that come up on us. Well, it's going to take time, but don't be discouraged. Simple obedience. Simply giving these thoughts that have no meaning back to God. Say, Lord, work something in me. Give me what I need. And you'll find out that you start to come to that place that you can start to think. God can start to give you spiritual understanding. And your mind can start to be used for something that has eternal meaning. The majority of our minds are not used by that. At this time, they're used for our own benefit to do what we want to do rather than for the glory of God. How long does it take? Who cares? I say that without any hesitation. Who cares how long it takes? What if it takes the rest of my life? I'm determined to know Him. And not just, when I say that, not just throwing out a statement that covers all. I'm determined to know Him in every aspect of my physical body. God's going to be glorified in my body. Now, my desires are not going to take over and control me. God's going to control me. He's made me with certain desires. They must be under His control. Mentally, I have some little experience in this area of knowing what it means to allow God to bring our minds into subjection to Him. I'm still experiencing that. Glory. It's wonderful. To come to a place that we can be still before God, to where we can start to think, and when we think, God can communicate to us. That's what I mean by thinking in God. Many of us can read the scriptures and you know, take what is said in there and memorize it or some other thing, but to think in God, to where He can actually give you His thoughts, and you're able to comprehend them, it takes you waiting on God and being obedient, bringing your mind, every thought, into subjection to Christ. Let me say this to this. We all know it. When God spoke to Moses, He said, I am. Tell Pharaoh, I am. Tell the people, I am. That doesn't really take a hold of us today. I am. When God speaks to you and says, I am, it's everything. And for us to think for one moment that we have salvation, is God's going to save us without us being partakers of everything that He is. Because I can read you over there in Peter, in 2 Peter. It's clear. That is, if we have ears. If we're not looking for an excuse, a way out. If these things be in you and abound. We're in chapter 1, verse 8. 2 Peter. If these things be in you and abound, if there's an overflowing, if not only you've just begun, but if they're in you, they're working in you and they're overflowing. And that's what God does in every one of these areas. It's overflowing that He gives us. Just what He said, if you're thirsty, come and drink. Out of your belly shall flow streams, rivers. Huh? You ask God for something, how's He going to bless you? It's going to be pressed down, running over. Come on. If this doesn't take a hold of you, nothing will. I'm talking about God. I'm not talking about what I'm saying. What He's saying to you, if it doesn't take a hold of you, there is nothing that's going to press us on to see these areas affected. If you have the life of God this morning, you have the ability to have every one of these areas affected by God, not by man. You're not going to have them affected by going through some program or some discipline. You're going to be disciplined by one thing, your simple moment-by-moment response to the Spirit of God. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. He that lacketh these things is blind, cannot see afar off, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. I'm reading 2 Peter chapter 1. Verse 8 through 10. I would encourage you, beloved, if you haven't already done it, to read chapter 1 of 2 Peter until you want to read it again. Read it till you get tired of it, and then read it till you want to read it again. You can't keep from reading it again. because it's got some depths in it that only God can reveal to you. But you can start to see the power of God in what I'm saying as far as disciplining these areas and making you what God wants you to be. In other words, don't think that God is going to take and save you and then not change you. Some people have the theology that God saves them in their sin. I have the theology that God saves us from our sin. Not in our sin. But that's what we walk out. That's what we think. Well, God understands. God knows my heart. I wish you'd get that vocabulary out of your way too. Sure, we know God knows your heart. But if you're not very careful, if you know the scripture, you'll know that out of your mouth, your heart's going to speak, and sooner or later, you're going to tell us who you are.
Amen.
Hello. I didn't say it. God said it. That's the way He made us. It isn't that God knows your heart. God is able to change your heart. But how does He change it? Through your response. Let's go to another place that's all very familiar to us. Found over there in Romans 6. Right? You was there this morning. All right. Romans 6. Let me begin to read at 14, verse 14 of chapter 6. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know you not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey? Now, if you haven't been born again, you can't yield your members to Christ. But you've been freed. His servants you are to whom you obey. If you have been redeemed, then it tells you here, yield your members to Christ. Physically, mentally, and your whole moral understanding, yield it to God. Start to let God build in you something that will stand. We've talked about it as far as character. Building of character, a moral excellence. And morality, it has to be built in you. In other words, you give in to every whim of your desires. And of course, the devil knows how to entice you. He knows how and who to use to entice you. You don't think so?
Mm-hmm.
But you see here that it's a yielding of your members to Him. It goes on to say, but God be thanked that you were servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servant of righteousness. That's the only way you can yield your members to God. That's the only way that you can yield your physical, your mental, your moral values. The only way you can yield them is if you've been born of God. And the thing is that any time that God starts to move in our lives and we don't work Him out, the working is not on the level in which He's working, you'll find that they'll work out on a lower level. To have these areas disciplined. It's not going to do it because you heard me say something about it this morning. It's going to be because you walk out of here this morning and something so is working in your heart that you want God more than you want anything else. Because discouragements are going to be the minute you open the door. It might even be while you're sitting here. And you start to think of the things that you've got to do and the things of this and that and the things that you want to do. You say, well, that interferes. I'll do this after that. And when you start to put it off, you'll never do it. But the one that is pressed, is willing, as Paul, as we read last week, willing to lose all that he may gain, Christ. Mm-hmm. He saw something. Mm-hmm. We must see something. Mm-hmm. And we must be partakers of something before this is going to work. But we're going to have to take and see these areas affected. These are vital areas. Mm-hmm. Physical. Don't tell me you can control your physical. Only God can control our physical. Mm-hmm. But I've got to want Him to control it. Mm-hmm. He doesn't control it automatically. He controls it because I've responded to Him. And as I respond, He starts to open up my eyes and bring light to me. I start to see. Then He works in me. Not only as He's working in me physically and mentally, He's working in me morally. Coming to a place in my life speaks of something that's higher than the standard of this world. It brings that heavenly aroma to bear wherever you're at. It brings the light of heaven. Just like Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. When He left, He said, you are the light of the world. And you can be the light. You can bring the light to bear wherever you're at. But it cannot be if you are over here and you are living like they are. This is how they're living. By their mind. By their desires. If you're not being driven by His love. Of course, that's a wrong word, but you know what I mean. If you're not being motivated by His love, you're being motivated by this world. You cannot love the Father and love this world. So you either love one or hate the other. And this morning, if you're not motivated by something that's higher than your desires, you'll never affect these areas. I can mention them next week and the week after. I can mention them for 6 months, and they'll never affect you. You've got to do business. You've got to have a relationship with God. That's the only thing that's going to affect these three areas. And you're not going to be spiritual. I'm not going to be spiritual until these three areas are affected. At some place, you will run from the very appearance of evil. Another place, when you have gained where God knows that you can stand, you will be light to that situation. But you better run when He says run. And then when He says stand, stand. But it's in your growth. It's in your growth in Christ that's going to make the difference. Mm-hmm. It's not in your ability. It's not in what you can do. Remember, you're moving from one position. My position in Christ. But if I can't do it, I'm on. I can't discipline myself. I can't discipline my mind. Separate from Him. But I can do everything that I've been talking about this morning by the power that He has brought. And that power is not separate from Him. That power is Him. He is the power. Last week we said that He is everything. I know that sounds sometimes very, it's kind of a trivial statement. Because we say, well, you know, it doesn't come down to meet my need. Well, the thing is, He is everything. He's everything that you need. But the thing is, unless you take and allow it to take place in your life, unless you respond, because He's going to definitely be there. He's going to speak to you in these areas. If you're a child of God, He has already spoken to you in these three areas. How do you know? I know. He spoke to me. I've heard others. He spoke to them. He always speaks in these areas because this is what He's working. He doesn't take you out of this body to perfect you. He perfects you in this body. What does that mean? Mature. Not make you a perfect specimen, but make you a responsible being that is mature, established in the truth, grounded in Christ. And He does this by His own power, not by your power. This is not by willpower, yet we have to will to do His will. But you can't will to do His will unless you're a child of God. The world can't will to do His will. They have no power to do His will. They have to be freed from sin. Then to do His will. Now, yielding my members, if I have been freed, that has meaning. But this morning you can say, I'm going to yield my members, but if you don't have the power that He brings, yielding your members is not going to free you. It's not going to establish anything in you. But if He dwells within you, here you're moving from that standpoint, that premise, that plateau, because it is a plateau. I have been translated into the kingdom of His dear Son. Glory.
Amen.
That's not mystical. I'm not up here floating in the heavens. I'm right down here. I'm in His flesh. I'm not governed by this flesh. I'm governed by Him. Now He's going to take Him day by day, hour by hour, situation by situation, everything. He's going to start to ask your response. All He's looking for is an obedience. And He will strengthen every one of these areas to where you become a shining light where you're at. Lord?
Glory.
Remember, just mentioning this and keep prodding you with it is not going to do anything. He says this morning, and as He says to all of us, and will say to you again, I came because I loved you. I love mankind. I came to give you life. I didn't come to let you live the way you've been living. I didn't come to where you can continue to live out of your desires, out of your mind. I came to change all of this. Can we read it for you? Let me read it for you. I always love to read this. But you say, this is a state. No, this is not a state. This has to be a working. But this is what He's actually done. 2 Corinthians. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. That's exactly right. He dealt with them at Calvary. All things. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become, present tense, are become new. From that point, if you listen to Him, you'll respond to Him, He's going to make you over physically and mentally and morally. He's going to make you what you were not. Spiritually, He's made you alive. Physically, He has quickened your mortal bodies. Now He's going to work all that He is in you. What you are in this body. Your body is not a hindrance. All of these things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. We have to let God deal with our religious concepts to bring us down to a simple reality that God is able to manifest Himself. Not only did He come in a physical body, in flesh, but He is also to manifest Himself in you, a physical body. To me, the incarnation of Christ in Mary being born is as a tremendous mystery as the mystery of Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Yes. Yes.
He came to give us everything. Himself. The thing is that God believed that His love and His sacrifice was so great that He gave you the choice. I see many today that refuse. They can't live with their conscience, so they become religious. And they allow the devil to warp their minds to think that everything's all right. But that isn't what God has planned for us. God has planned what I've said this morning, to take and transform us and change us to where we are holy, where we're pure, where we are what He wants us to be, and He dwells within us. And we move, And everything that we do, everything that we say, everything that we think, we move from that one premise. I am a new creature in Christ Jesus. Remember, in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. The secret throughout the New Testament.